What up, what up, what up? Welcome to another episode of 94 Feet with Coach JT. Do me a favor, leave a like in the comment section. Please subscribe to the podcast as I continue to just grow this platform. We'll get real busy, as active this spring and summer, taking the show on the road, hopefully attending more sporting events, doing more interviews with my guests in person, no matter where they are. If I can get to them, I would definitely gonna get some more face-to-face and live interviews going on. Again, thank you guys for the show up last week to the 3-year anniversary. I appreciate it, man. We had a dope event at our place. Shout out to Our Place Event Space and Kitchen in Sacramento. They definitely a dope place to have your parties and weddings or just hangouts. Go visit the restaurant too. They got a dope restaurant in there, man. So again, shout out to Our Place for setting that up and getting it going, man. We're going on 3 years, episode 135 and more. We're on it rolling. All right, let me get to my intro. So my guest, Dr. Letitia Graves Nash, is an author of Enough, the Psalm of Love, Pain, and Restoration. She's a co-founder of MAD2, Moms and Daughters Marching Against Depression, and last, the co-founder of Enough Girl. Dr. Nash is a warrior wife, and mother of three amazing children. She advanced to teaching accelerated courses in high school and coaching tennis, winning two championship tournaments and one runner-up. She went on to become the Teacher of the Year and the Parent of the Year in 2023. Also, she's a philanthropist who has gone through the wildest of life, from marriage to situational depression, and now travels the world with her book and poetry, empowering women and children to levels of peace, prosperity, and business with God, with the Word of God. Also, last but not least, her breakthrough. Topics range from marriage, grief, business, faith, relationship, and childhood identity, fitness, mindset, etc. She has helped others break through topics through marriage, trusting God, relationships, surviving domestic violence, anxiety, depression, deformation of character, and surviving the attacks of Jezebel spirits through prayer and the Word of God. Acknowledging Dr. Nash, all she goes through, will always get you to your breakthrough. Girl, get up. Dr. Nash, how are you doing?
Super awesome. Super awesome. Wow. That was a lot.
I know, but it was a lot of dope information there. A lot of stuff that is really off top, vulnerable and empathetic, and putting yourself out there out the gate, as they say, man. You just went right to it. But thank you for taking time out your busy day, busy schedule. And I know we've been working on this for a few weeks now, off and on, but consistency is key. And I definitely appreciate you. In the bio, I did not say, but I just wanted to also start with, she's a fellow Alcardite as well. So I definitely got to show love to the Braves, man, as on this platform. And I always got to highlight our school, but also a lot of HBCUs as well, just in general. So again, shout out to you. And then everybody out there, HBCU, future HBCU students or current ones out there, man, a lot of love to you guys out there. A lot of people supporting you and support each other too through that journey, because you need each other during those times for sure. Briefly, before we get into details on this book, story, just you in general, I would just definitely like to know, give information out to, you know, those who are on the West Coast who are going to watch this, but also I know a lot of our friends, your friends and family, or alumni are going to see this too, as I try to definitely put on the platform. Give us a little background about, you know, yourself just in general, just, you know, who you are, kind of the upbringing a little bit. So give me a little summary about you.
I am the most weirdest person you would ever meet. But I love what I do. I've been teaching for about now 17 years, and this has been on and off, where I have been trying to go into the medical field, but God keep calling me back to the classroom. I'm like, okay, God, hang up the phone. But I love teaching. This is my 17th year. I coach tennis, like you said. I love to travel. As I said before, I have a friend in California who is trying so hard to get me out there, but the driving distance and the flying distance, they just won't agree. So I haven't quite made it out there just yet. I do have three amazing children. One, I have brainwashed, so he is out there at Alcorn State University getting his degree. He's actually getting two at the same time. So he's out there having a remarkable time. He said, "Mom, I'm gonna outdo what you did." So he hasn't even stepped on the field of what I did at Alcorn. So, but he's having a really good time. I have two amazing little girls here. They are also co-founders of the business that we run, which is Moms and Daughters Marching Against Depression. So we are MAD2. Nice. And basically what that is, we have to get upset with just being low. You have to get mad with how life is treating you and just do something about it. And so we kind of just take people out of their normal self and just teach them how to live a productive, promising life. But yeah, I've been coaching tennis for about 8 years. We have taken my assistant coach and I, we've gone to the championship playoffs 4 years in a row. We've won a couple of titles, but it keeps us humble. It keeps us going. It keeps us teaching our kids who normally wouldn't pick up a tennis racket, and being able to see how we can take those kids and just basically pour into them what we love and see them go that far. And here in our district, we really don't have that many people who are interested in tennis. So to have a female and a male to kind of pour into our group of kids, I love it. I wouldn't change it for the world. I would not change it.
Nice, definitely. So shout out to you. I know coaching, I've been coaching basketball 17 years as well. It's a whole nother commitment. It's a whole nother commitment.
Yes.
So that you sacrifice, you're helping raising other people's kids and being mentors for them. But they all, as we know, they all need it. And it's also, you know, it's life skills and sports as well, and competition, big factor too. Your time on the yard, I would definitely like to hear about just that experience. I mean, everybody's, all the alumni, people who I meet, HBCU in general, but even our Oakland Heights family, like everybody's experience is kind of different, but some things that are the same is, like, you know, of course, that family atmosphere, that struggle, but that success afterwards. But just give me a little bit about just your time on the yard, and how was that for you as a person, like then? And like, how do you see the benefits of it now as an adult and somebody who's also, I mean, got somebody on campus there too?
Yeah. So my first year at Alcorn was 1998. And if I told my kids that, they were just like, wow. I'm like, that's not a century. I'm not old. They think 1990, whatever, is just like so old, so long ago. But I got out there and I was the first of my family to kind of go to college. And it wasn't scary. It was just life changing because I hadn't been on my own. But that's what Alcorn does for you. It makes your home away from home feels more close knit. Every person every year was different. As far as roommates, I literally learned a different language every single year. I was able to visit the Czech Republic, because my senior year, the girls who were Golden Girls were actually from various countries, and were able to go back and kind of learn who they were and why they wanted to be Golden Girls. They had no clue what a Golden Girl was. Mm. But those years were the best of my college years for me. I was also in the choir, Interfaith Gospel Choir. So I went from twerking to working for God. It's just like, wait, how do you go between the two? It's like, wait a minute. Okay. I'm not going to deal with you.
And for those that don't know, the GGs, the baddest ones on the planet. So let's not get it twisted. They're not.
And
like
there
it.
You go. There
and
you go.
Like, even my boys back home be like, bruh, this is, I said, yeah, man, this is where we at. This is where I'm at. In California, we ain't got none of that. And I'm like, look, y'all, sorry. It's a little lot different. Y'all might want to come down and hang out and look at the HBCUs and see what we got going on. But yeah, one of the hottest things around is that the GGs on campus show. Shout out to all the GGs, man, doing big
so much. And I think that's what capped my son when, even though he didn't like the fact that I was a Golden Girl, when he once he realized like what it meant. You have those athletes or people who are in between trying to figure out where they want to go to school, and we always say, before you leave campus, go see the band.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care if we have 30 members in the band or we have 300 members in the band. There's a part of the band, if you see them, you're going to be convinced that Alcorn is where you need to be.
Yeah, that's
right. So if you
something
see
them, internal goes off, right? Like, because even to this day, you go back and see him just walking with something internal. We hear him coming. You know who's starting off, you know who's gonna be in the front. You know, you know what I mean? Like I remember my first day time going on campus, and my mom's family's from Natchez, so my grandparents were there down the street, but I hadn't visited before I got out there for school, and I just went to play basketball. But I remember the first day I was there, I'm looking and they're coming for practice, and they just, everybody in the street stopped, cars go out the way, you hear the band coming around the loop, and then you just look at it. I'm just like, I'm like, eyes just following. I was like, oh, all right, this is different because you don't see that in California. I mean, you see, but I'm like, all right, I'm like, this might work.
Yeah, that's it.
I said,
that's
bro,
it.
What is this, man? This is
I'm different. Convinced. You know, I'm just stay here.
That's I'm what's up. Briefly about that, though, talk about the camaraderie, though. It's a bond between you ladies out there like that. How yes. important was that for you? One being, you know, just, again, making it out there somewhat on your own to get the camaraderie, but also having that support system. Because it's ride or die. It's one for all, yeah. all for one like that. How was that important, or how did that, you know, kind of help prepare you as well to navigate spaces where you're in now?
When I say that's a different type of sisterhood, the girls that you come in with on the line, the girls that you dance with, there's a different level of connection between those girls. There are girls right now that I dance with at Alcorn that we still, if I needed anything, if they needed anything, we made one phone call and it was done. We were there. There are four of us that still kind of talk. We talk almost every other week. And what capitalized our friendship is that we are literally in four different states. But if anything should happen and they need prayer, we need somebody to show up somewhere. Mm-hmm. Those types of bonds you just don't make anywhere. Mm-hmm. And there is no money tied to it. There is no sorority tied to it. We have G5. But those relationships are beyond Golden Girl. Those relationships are beyond just families outside of Alcorn. Those are my sisters. If one fall, we all fall. If there were points where we backed into each other, we bumped into each other, or we had differences with each other, we knew then that nobody else can come between this circle. Mm-hmm. So let's stop right here. We fix that. The tie between me, of course, was you have the Golden Girl and then you have the gospel. Mm-hmm. And I did not want to pull the two from each other. I wanted to literally do both, not live two separate lives. Right. But there were times where the Golden Girls needed prayer. And I was the one that said, let's go ahead and pray. We knew how to come back to who we were. And I think that's what got us through those 5 a.m. practices, or those 3 a.m. practices, when we could barely walk after practice, but we had a job to do, and we tremendously loved it. I would not change anything. I tell my students now, when they Google me, as they say, I said, sweetheart, I can still drop it like it's hot, but I can't get back up until it's cool. So just let me. Let me warm up first, and then we move forward. But I wouldn't change that.
Yeah, dope experiences, lifetime friends, man, and companions, of course, man. We all need it for sure. Upon leaving Alcorn, you talked about being an education system. Is there some type of education system in your background, parents, mom, dad, anybody, or how did you get involved? Because actually, I've been in education too, so full time now. I work nonprofit, but I mean, I'm a college professor now, adjunct for 6 years, but I have my bachelor's from Alcorn in child development. So I'm teaching the grade school kids early. That's always been something I've been around, as far as going to church and seeing that younger kids need mentors, especially Black males, to be around and kind of hang out. So that kind of filled me in that area. But what about you as far as the education piece? What was that? Where'd that come from?
My mom worked 3 jobs, and she didn't get farther than associate's degree. My father, he was a contractor, and my dad wouldn't touch a college. I think back in those days, he knew the family business. So his goal was to continue to do what brought the most money in. And he did, they both did well in their professions. My mom wanted me to be a physical therapist. And I did go to Alcorn to become a physical therapist. However, right upon finishing the first degree, I got called into teaching, and I fell in love with it. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that kind of took my mindset to teaching or being in education was there was that one teacher in my high school. My mom worked, like I said, 3 or 4 different jobs at the same time. There was nothing that I needed. But there was one thing that I did need, and that was that connection with another woman. And that was that I need a mother figure. I need someone to make sure that, you know, if I'm doing wrong or if I have questions and I can't reach my mom, do I have that other person? And with me being quiet in high school, one teacher just kind of, I guess she fed into my quietness, my shyness. And she said, look, this is what's going to happen to you. This is what's happening to your body and these things of that matter. Cause I didn't know what is this stuff going on with my, you know, embarrassing with my chest. What is this? What's happening? And she was able to explain that to me. Cause I was a tomboy. I would rather fight than dress up or anything. So she convinced me or encouraged me to keep staying into education. And I got really good at what I do. I just kind of stayed there.
That's good. That's dope. I mean, it's authentic, you know, it happened by choice and by faith, right? By kind of what's up. Being an educator too, what are some of the joys? I know it's hard enough. I don't got to talk about the hard times. It's hard enough. But what are some of the joys and the positive things that you like about this, about that career?
I like the challenge of teaching. I've taught on every single level there is. I've started out with kindergarten and I've gone all the way up to college. I now teach at two different colleges and a high school. One of the things that I truly do love is when I can take a child that hates biology and make them love it. I like that. When you walk into my classroom, you don't walk into a classroom setting where you have five desks in a row, six desks going across. Every single day, you're going to get another setup. And that's what brings, I believe, what brings my students into the classroom is that I bring it alive. You can never expect the same thing from a classroom like myself, but of college, of course, you can. But there are it's three boys that I taught at a school called Lanier High School who hated my class. And they would give me, oh my God, they would give me a headache almost every single day, but they performed on every test. They went over and beyond with making sure that nobody messed with Dr. Nash.
that means something though, right? That means making an impact internally.
Exactly. So if there was a fight on the hallway, one of them would eventually come to the classroom and say, don't come out of the hall. Don't come out in the hallway. Or somebody's going to do this by the end of the day. So just, you know, go the other way. But believe it or not, that was about 9 years ago when those three boys became my sons. And my assistant coach played tennis for me at Lanier High School. My assistant coach, I walked away from tennis. He picked up the team, took them to the championship playoffs after playing for me 2 years prior to. About 2 months ago, I just hired that same student of mine as my assistant coach at the new school where I work now. And he helped me last year to get the team back to the championship. Nice. So those types of relationships of taking a student who didn't have that mother figure, it was three of them. And now they are the brothers to my son, who I call my own sons.
That's the pros right there. Like I will say, is the financial benefit of any of that? That's not it. You know, something like that is everlasting and changing, and also impactful. Right? We're in a work that you want to make impact. Your impact lives, especially in males and females, black males and females, any student for sure. But we want to see them be successful. You know, handle it appropriately, be around a long time. Right? You got to handle yourself. Right? You got to speak correctly, but then also.
Right.
Affecting you as a mom, that means something, because boys and moms relationships are one of a kind, right? So that's definitely dope. Shout out to them and you for that, because I know that's something that, you know, for them, they're gonna look out for you no matter what. Now they attached at the hip, so they ain't going nowhere. So that's
they can't go anywhere. And I still tell people to this day, I have 31 children. The kids who call me mom, and oh my God, my kids, my own personal kids don't like it, but they're just like, you give everything to the students, but they will give everything for my family as well.
Nice. We'll shift a little bit here to, at what point did you really decide or feel like, okay, outside of the work world realm, you wanted to put together a platform or activities, books, novels, stuff like that, as far as getting out to telling your story. At what point did you make it like official? Because, you know, a lot of people, they see the end result, right? Even you see stuff, you're on, you're moving now. We've been talking back and forth, calls here. It wasn't always that.
Yeah.
You've put in work to get to this point though. But at what point did you feel like you want to, again, help others even on a bigger scale? Because really all you're doing is still helping others, but now you're taking it to where I'm trying to help whoever, however, how many people I can, no matter where you are, who you are. But something had to occur or something like that. What brought that about?
That first book was actually a book of journals. And like I said before, I'm very quiet. I've always been quiet. But my mom, she kind of took over my journals and she invaded my privacy. And she said, I didn't know that you were going through all of this. How can I help? And I said, you know, Mom, you can't help. One is in the past. Two, I've overcome it. And three, I don't want anybody to know. And she took my journals. And my mom is an avid reader. Like when I say she can take 6 books and read them all in 3 days, like she can read all 6 books at the same time and not ever mix the stories. She took my journals and she kind of put them in a particular order and made me, she didn't really make me, she encouraged me to type them. Mm-hmm. She said, if you can type this, we'll move it forward. I said, move it forward to what?
Mom already know what she want to get done. Mom,
right, like, what are you doing? But my mom took my poetry. She took my poetry in high school and she published it in the newspapers without my permission. My mom is just bogarting everything. But when I saw that she took my journals and she made them an actual book, and the very first case of books sold in 3 minutes. And she opened the cases, the second case in the library in Sunflower County, Mississippi, in Indianola. So in the library, we had 64 books and there were 7 people that came to that book signing. One person bought one box. Here's the kicker. That one person that bought one box gave one book to one girl. Mm. That girl did not commit suicide. Mm. That is what took me to the next level.
That's all it took. That's it. That's clear.
She said, I don't know who you are, but your book saved my life. And that's where I continued to write. I'm still shy. I'm not going to do anything with my writings. I got through my divorce because it was rough. And I got quiet again. When I remarried, it was more so of like, wait a minute, this is repeating itself. So obviously I did not heal or survive. I just kind of covered everything up and didn't deal with it. So when I went through the turmoil with the second, I said, you know what? I'm just done. I'm completely done. And I wanted to step out. I wanted to give up. But then another little girl came to me and said, you have to get up. You have to get through it. But that little girl was my little girl. That was my daughter. That was my daughter who when I see my mother, I saw a queen. I saw a warrior. I saw a fighter. My children were looking at me the same way, and I didn't know that. So when we first came up with MAD 2, I was mad. I was mad at God. I was mad with the guy. I was mad with, you know, the outcome, because I had given everything. I stopped traveling with my book. I stopped traveling with tennis. I stopped coaching, stopped teaching. I stopped everything just to be a wife. And I got mad. And once I got mad, I dealt with everything in the past. I dealt with everything that was happening right then. And God took over. And we've been traveling the world, doing podcasts, doing books, doing journals, and doing more novels, all while we're going through divorce.
I have an idea, but to not know until you figure out the impact you made, how rewarding personally is that for you, that just one young lady was inspired to change her life or save her life from something you had no intention on getting to her, but it's out there? What was that initial feeling like though when you heard that?
Well, after I dried my face, straightened the makeup back up, I kept saying, wow, like, thank you for reading the book. I don't know. Now I have this respect for being what they call a blueprint. And that's what one young man said after, I think I traveled with his Boys and Girls Club or something like that. And I spoke to the girls and he said, you're a blueprint. And that did not resonate with me the day that he said it. But I was going through things that you couldn't find on Google. You can't find an answer to this. Mm-hmm. So God, what do I do? Like, people don't know how to come to you. Like, what do you want me to do? And I started literally writing down what I was going through. I would pray about it. And then I would hear and see what God was doing with it. Mm-hmm. And then it took me all the way back to that young lady, because now she is one of the most brilliant people that I've ever seen get back up from what she was going through. And that was, for her, it was molestation. Mm-hmm. And she didn't know how to forgive her father. I didn't have my father after 15. So I didn't like him for that reason, but I knew that I had to forgive him for whatever it was so I can move forward. And now thinking back to that situation or that young lady, I think I can say now that was God's way of showing me who I was. This is why I put you here. And it could be just for that one person. Think about this for me. When you pay tithes, you put your money in the envelope. Mm-hmm. You put the envelope in the basket and you leave it there. Mm-hmm. Imagine putting $10 in there and every dollar hit 10 different people. Mm. Now your blessing of that $10 that you just blessed, one little $10 bill is right there that now has been spread between 10 other people. So that little girl back then who said, your book changed my life, your book saved my life. Mm-hmm. Now what she is saying to other women is saving their lives.
Yeah.
So if I have to be a blueprint, use me.
Shout out to you, former pastor of my church. He passed away about a year ago now, maybe. Yeah, about a year. He, one of the mottos of the church was blessed to be a greater blessing to others.
Yeah.
Like, you just never know. I mean, that's what you care. If you care yourself that way, or if you're there in the spot, if you're at these places, I mean, you be who you are. People will feed off that light, that energy, or what you say. Yeah. Can say, like you said, you can save their life, or they're going to turn around and say, hey, I learned from somebody. I read this. It could help somebody else. So that's definitely dope. I would ask the same question now, though, about your daughter, though.
Yeah.
That's even more personal. How was that when she's like, okay, mom, I see it in you, to actually for you to hear that from your own flesh and blood?
I'm going to tell you a secret. It's not really a secret. My daughters are, I have this thing where I say my daughters are watching. And that was when she told me to, my oldest, she's now 16. She told me to get up. At the time that she told me, she was 9. And she drew this picture. She was 10, I'm sorry. She drew this picture in a box and she drew me in the box. My other daughter came back through and she drew the box like a 3D picture frame. And in the picture frame on the sides of it, it said, girl, get up, girl, get up, girl, get up, girl, get up. So here it is. My oldest just drew a box with me in the box. And then, of course, the other one came back through. As soon as I started to get better, as soon as I started fighting depression, now these are happy children. They are like, there was nothing that could ever harm them. They are always full of joy. They are always having fun. There is never a dull moment. But as soon as I healed, as soon as I fought back, they got attacked. Mm. Now I'm seeing them crumble. I see them falling. I see them getting lower. I see them fighting. I see them struggling. I'm like, wait a minute.
That's tough.
So the devil couldn't steal my joy, so he tried to take theirs. That's so crazy. I had to go back and teach them how to let's fight for real.
That's what's up. That's tough too, for sure. Knowing that as a parent, you probably want to carry the weight for them but also seeing them being the opposite way now is going the opposite way. But you called it, you hit it on the head with that one. But that, I think that's so dope how you can help assist your young ladies in fighting back, but together support of the mom, but also somebody experienced the best teacher, right? You've been through it. So they've seen it. Like, so now, as we know, some kids that aren't yours, maybe sometimes not listen as much, but now that's dope to see that they can go to you for that and you're there for them. So, shout out to you guys going through that and staying with them and them for fighting. We definitely know. I understand it's not easy for sure. It takes consistency and work, but also it's get some hard times, but like I said, get up, don't quit. Don't quit and get up. Currently right now, as far as what are you doing business venture wise, how busy are you? Like, what's on the plate right now? If you share with these people, because I know I'm gonna tell y'all something, this ain't no secret. We've been trying to get linked, vice versa, been busy, which okay. But one thing I think you said, it will happen, or we said we gotta make it happen. We're gonna, even difficulties trying to keep it from happening. But somebody to hear this message, they're gonna watch this and be inspired. They're gonna connect with you. They're gonna reach out, which is what the purpose of this platform is for sure. But currently right now, what is shaking and moving amongst the things personally going on?
We are getting ready to, we're going to redo the modeling. It's ministry in modeling. And what happens is we're taking young ladies and we're taking them through a ministry of motivation where we're teaching them how to just do life through modeling. One of my survival strategies was taking photos. So if sometimes when you're going through things and you don't want to look like what you've been through, we're going to dress you up. We're going to put your makeup on. We're going to make sure that you look good through your struggle, because sometimes as long as you look good and feel good, you have the strength mentally to get through anything. So this modeling ministry is more so we're taking the women, they're overcoming their adversities, and we're going to crown them. At the end, we teach them how to straighten their crown. So these young ladies have gone through hell and high water, but they're going to model across the catwalk and they're going to walk it out. And hopefully what we aim to teach them is the adversity, the trial, it's just a test. It's not meant to stop you. The only way we fail is that we literally stop in the middle. But that's the time when you reach over and get to your breakthrough. Keep going through and get to the other side. So this modeling show is basically for those girls who have decided to fight back. And we're going to give them a full makeover, give them their crowns, and they will represent Girl Get Up for a whole year. These young ladies will also be qualifying to be Miss Mississippi. Nice. So after they do this for a year, they can get into the qualification round of being named Miss Mississippi. And last but not least, we got four amazing books about to come out. I'm nervous. I'm really, and this is me being truthful. These are not books that you make up. This is real life. This is dealing with women on the other side. This is dealing with attacks, like people who are, their goal, their job was to really break you. Like their whole entire aim was to break you. But you're gonna see and it's called Enough is Enough, Becoming a Warrior. And it's either War, W-A-R, or Her. And I'm excited about it because it's either you're going to fight for yourself or you're going to die to self. Because every day of your life, you're going to be attacked with something. As soon as you give your life over to God, as soon as you walk in your promise, as soon as you walk in your calling, you're going to get attacked. Even if you were trying to get this podcast going, everything wanted to go wrong. But you know what? When I told you that, okay, I said, give me 2 minutes.
Yeah.
All we did was pray. That's it. All we did
was
pray.
And we spent 45 trying to get it right, trying to electronics, trying to do something, and just take two minutes out. Thank you, Lord. We need your help, or can you make it happen? And, yeah, that's definitely something that more people need to walk into. Realize that, right? Because if you're not doing anything, then it's the trouble don't find you, or the issue don't find you. But it's when you're trying to be, you know, help others or support others or walk in that line, or, you know, be truthful to yourself and to God or whatever you believe in, whoever it is. It's like, where did this come from? Or where did this attack come from? Where did temptation come from? Like, man, exactly. I just want to do right. But that's definitely, and that's the harder part. That's definitely the harder part. Just stick with it when it gets rough, you know, when it gets rougher on you, or when you want to get these blessings coming in, when you're working towards something, you got a book coming out, now something else want to stop it. But definitely that's definitely something that I see for sure. Dealing with, as well as different type of things, but learning how to maneuver, learn how to pray through it, which I'm glad you said that too. Sometimes just take your time out and sit. All right, let me just turn this off and have a prayer. Let me pray about it.
Let me
throw a few up there. That's definitely exciting. Where can people find your information at? And definitely got to shout that out, where they can contact, email, purchase stuff when it's ready.
Okay, so we're going to have everything on the website. www.enough-girlgetup.com. And right now we put all of our blogs, our poetry, our events on that webpage. You can reach out to us, even if you want just to get us to pray for you. There's a link on there where you just put your prayer request in, and we have intercessors who really just go in there and they sit and we pray for whatever you want us to pray for. And I think people are going to enjoy. They can even read some of the things that we've posted already on there and kind of go from there.
That's what's up. Overall, though, through your experiences, who are some of the lifelines or support systems you may have clung to or attached to or reached out and grabbed a hand or something like that to help you get through this? Because I want people to get the book. I'm not going to ask the extra questions and get the. I want them to go get the book for themselves, listen to it. But that part, though, who are, you know, because I mean, like I said, you said to make it through. And I feel I'm a person that always thinks that everybody needs somebody at some point in time in their life. Some people say, I don't need nobody. I don't know about that. Because if nobody did something for, I'm like, man, it's we all need some type of support or a hand or like a somebody to stand on. So anybody that or anything or anybody that you kind of. That was during crucial, because I mean, it sounds like from what I read behind the scenes too, it did get rough, it did get hard. It could have got to the point where you wanted to quit, but what was the, I guess, you know, supporting factors in that as for you to keep going?
So in the beginning of everything, you have a boat full of people who want to stand by you, help you, get you through. You have those people who will say, girl, if it was me, I'll do this and I'll do that. But I can say this, there were people who were there in the beginning that didn't make it to the end. There were pastors in the beginning that didn't make it to the end. There were warriors, deaconess that prayed with me in the beginning that didn't make it to the end. And this is why I say that when times get really tough, you have people who don't mind being tagged in, and they will do exactly what they're being called to do. They will pray with you, walk with you, sit with you, cry with you, pat you on the back. But there are those moments where you also have to be left alone. And that's when God is trying to tell you and show you that he's there with you. This is what I want you to do. In the beginning, I had my mom, and everything that I did because my mom gave me that advice. He's like, well, baby, do this and, you know, do that. And I did it. And I didn't feel any way about it. I didn't heal. I didn't learn. And then my mom passed. And I was just like, ooh, okay. So now what? So now I don't have my mom. I don't have my family. So now I'm just here by myself struggling, and my mom passed and all hell broke loose because I didn't have anybody to talk to anymore. And when I say the hell broke loose, I told the next person, you know, I'm going to see you for who you are because my mother covered up for you. And when that phrase came out of my mouth, I didn't see that person ever again. That was my spouse. So I went from grieving my mother to grieving the marriage, to grieving the divorce, to being traumatized by it all, and I died. The first person I saw when I got when I came back to in the hospital was my best friend Hattie. And I could never forget the day that I came back home and I talked to her about everything that was going on, and she was just like, let it go. And I said, I don't think that's what God wants me to do. And she said, okay, if you need me, I'm here. And from that moment on, it was Hattie Friesen, it was Melissa White, it was Sonia Howard, and those are all my three sisters. And it was my my neighbor Kim White, and they have all caught me at my lowest, and they pulled me back up. So those four ladies, I didn't even know my friends could speak in tongues. I'm like, wait, what? What are you doing? But I wouldn't do life with anybody else had it not been for those three. But they were not here at the same time. Every phase requires somebody different. Every phase required somebody different.
That's what's up, man. Shout out to them. Right on time when needed, effective. Yeah. Very dope. So in basketball, I do kind of put some terminology together from the end of the show, though, right? So a triple threat in basketball, we call where you can dribble, pass, shoot, right? Three things, right? But however, at the end of my show, I ask all the guests, though, for their personal triple threat. So you personally, Dr. Nash, just what are three things that people who are listening to the show, who may see your website or have read your books, that they can know who you may be personally, or kind of how you stand or how you maneuver through life right now, like your three things, your personal triple threat that you can give somebody who's listening, who will watch this interview by, okay, you know what? I'm taking her triple threat away. I like that. I learn more about it like that. If they don't watch the whole thing, if they just see this, they watch the triple threat part. What are three things you can kind of put your stamp on or kind of say, yeah, this is me. This is how I move. This is how I hold myself accountable.
That's wow. You asked that question. It's three things that I say about everything. If you want to be successful in life, wise up, rise up, get up. If you learn why you're going through something, if you learn why you love something, if you learn why you want to play basketball, you learn to rise up in it. And one thing about let's say a cake will not rise unless it has the right ingredients. So in order to get the wisdom, you need to pour something into that dream, pour something into that promise, pour something into whatever it is that you want to do in life. If you pour the right ingredients, it's going to give you enough strength to rise up far enough to get up. Mm-hmm. And when you get up, walk it out. It's all on you. It's all on you.
You had it ready. That's a quick response. Usually people give a little longer time in between, but you're already ready. That's dope. One more time, though, give out the website information where they can find you, see stuff, drops information, purchase stuff when it's time, when it's all ready.
Oh, yeah. I am Dr. Letitia Graves Nash, and you are more than welcome to reach out to us at www.enough-girlgetup.com.
Definitely. Thank you. I'll post it on all the socials when we drop the episode. Thank you. I know we had our struggles before getting this thing going, but it was well worth it because the message I know for me myself is well received. So I know others they'll be received by it well, be blessed. And keep doing what you're doing. Please let me know or tag me in when you got stuff dropping on the social media so I can already post it for you.
You're awesome.
That never not a problem for me. You know, definitely want to get the exposure out here West Coast, but some of these issues or things you're talking about, people everywhere need to hear about it and learn something or find a tool to tap into. So it definitely can be a resource. That's what I'm here for as well. You heard it here first, man. Dr. Letitia Graves Nash on 94 Feet with Coach JT. Two former Oakland Braves to the heart, through and through. We out.
Bye.